This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Right, and we know the Prophet talked about the evil eye. He said that it is true. We know that jealousy is one of the major sins in our religion. And we know that jealousy was in the surah. Right, we know that jealousy was in the surah of why the brothers of Yusuf did this to him. They were jealous of their brother. They couldn't let it go. They couldn't feel it. They took it personally. They said, oh, it's because of this. It's because of half brothers. Because our father is like this. Once we do this, our father will be good. We'll be peaceful. We'll be happy. Were they happy? They were miserable. They were miserable. They couldn't get away from this. Their whole life was haunted by the actions they did because of jealousy. So do not let jealousy take over, brothers and sisters, because it will define you. It will define you. Point number three, this is a big one. Point number three is that you can't help anybody else if you're not strong yourself. If you're not strong yourself.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, we'll be starting in a few minutes. There's just a bit of a delay in the class starting. So inshallah, in about 2 or 3 minutes, we should begin. Inshallah.
And this will give you the strength to yani move past this and get to the next stage. What is the next stage? The stage of forgiveness. Can you imagine that one day Yusuf is going to forgive his brothers for what they've done? And we're going to study that in the surah, and we'll talk deep about his psychology. Because it's a massive topic. How did he get through this trauma? How did he do that? Was it just Allah just, you know, magically gave him some power? No. He had to go through so much difficulty in his life. But he had to keep a good perspective on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was very critical. And the last point that I want to mention, guys, as we're wrapping up, the last point that I'm going to mention now, inshallah, and we will call it for today, is remember one thing in your life, and this is point number four, that you are always in charge of your own definition. You can choose in life to be the victim or to be the savior, to be the hero. It's your choice. And you have all the things in your favor because you have Allah. Remember that. Allah's not against you. Your family's not against you. Your siblings aren't against you. And even if the whole world is against you, you have Allah. And that's amazing. And we remember that it's really our definition of our times. Some people are always playing the victim. My dad did this to me when I was a kid. My mom, my sister, my brother, they're always together and I'm alone. My brothers have such a good relationship that I don't fit in. My parents do were always playing the victim card. SubhanAllah, if anyone could play the victim card, it would have been Yusuf alayhi salam. Did your brothers try and kill you? And maybe someone's like, yeah, when I was young, you tried, you took the pillow and, okay, he was of age. When they were older, did they come together and see the verse? Let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in a well. We just talked about it. What? That's good? Yeah, it'll make the world good. You know, it'll make our family life happy. You did not have the brothers and sister, and you're not the brothers of Yusuf. You had a different situation in your life, and you can definitely conquer whatever it was. And even if you have a very toxic relationship with your family, your parents, etc., you have to always understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in this world with the ability to move forward, with the ability to do better. So this is where I'm going to close off, inshallah, for today. And when we get to our next session, I believe Brother Imran is going to be teaching next week, and I'll be back, inshallah, in 2 weeks. We will go a little bit further in covering another of the major lessons, bismillah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan. So basically, I'm going to just hand off the mic to Ustadh Taymiya, who will be stepping up here. So if everyone can, inshallah, just kind of reset for a minute. Before we do that, I did want to just mention that there is one event that's coming up for the youth. Alhamdulillah, it's going to be an online event. It's for our ages of 13 to 21, inshallah, and it's going to be on Zoom next Saturday night. So I'm just going to show you guys this image. We will be passing this around to the TAs and whatnot. We have really two good speakers. This is from the Al-Huda Institute, and it is next Saturday night, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Boundless, our youth council, mashallah, has been keeping it busy and doing works. We will have some Amazon gift card giveaways, so it is a free event. Please, inshallah, if you're in that age group or you know people, spread the word, and inshallah, we will pass on to our next presenter for today, Ustadh Taymiya. You want to grab the mic?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Are you all able to hear me clearly? All right, good. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil kareem رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. So inshallah we'll begin from ayah number 8 of Surah Yusuf. Alhamdulillah, in our previous class we learned about the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam, an introduction to the story. And we learned about how Yusuf alayhi salam, when he shared his dream with his father told him not to share his dream with his brothers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about how in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, there are surely lessons for the people who ask. And now, now we're in the part of the story where the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam are mentioned. So inshallah, beginning from ayah number 8, first we will do the translation, and then inshallah we'll begin the tafsir. So those of you who have your books with you, you can open them up, and those of you who don't, inshallah you can look at the screen and follow along. So it's verse number 8 of Surah Yusuf. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إِذْ وَنْ قَالُوا, they said, لَيُوسُفُ, surely Yusuf, وَأَخُوهُ, and his brother, أَحَبُّ, are more beloved, إِلَىٰ, to أَبِينَا, our father, مِنَّا, than us, وَنَحْنُ, while we, عُصْبَةٌ, are a group. إِنَّ, indeed, أَبَانَا, our father, لَفِي, surely is in, ضَلَالٍ, error, مُبِين, clear. أُقْتُلُوا, you all kill, يُوسُفَ, Yusuf, أو, or, إِطْرَحُوهُ, you all dump him, أَرْضًا, in a land, يَخْلُو, it will be freed up, لَكُمْ, for you all, وَجْهُ, face, أَبِيكُمْ, of your father. وَتَكُونُوا, and you all will be, مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, after him, قَوْمًا, a people, صَالِحِينَ, ones who are righteous, or ones who are in a good state. قَالَ, he said, قَائِلٌ, a speaker, مِنْهُمْ, among them, لَا تَقْتُلُوا, you all do not kill, يُوسُفَ, Yusuf. وَأَلْقُوهُ, and instead you all cast him, fi in غَيَابَتِ, bottom, الْجُبِّ, of the well. يَلْتَقِطْهُ, they will pick him up, بَعْضُ, some, السَّيَّارَ, of the travelers. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ, if you all truly are, فَاعِلِينَ, ones who will act. قَالُوا, they said, يَا أَبَانَا, O our father, مَالَكَ, what is the matter with you? لَا, not, تَأْمَنَّا, you trust us, عَلَى, with, يُوسُفَ, Yusuf. وَإِنَّا, while indeed we, لَهُ, towards him, لَنَاصِحُونَ, surely are ones who are sincere. أَرْسِلْهُ, you send him, مَعَنَا, with us, غَدًا, tomorrow, يَرْتَعْ, he will enjoy himself eating, or he will enjoy himself running around, وَيَلْعَبْ, and he will play. وَإِنَّا, and indeed we, لَهُ, for him, لَحَافِظُونَ, surely will be ones who diligently guard. قَالَ, he said, إِنِّي, indeed I, لَيَحْزُنُنِي, surely it would grieve me, أَنْ, that, تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ, you all take him away. وَأَخَافُ, and I fear, أَنْ, that, يَأْكُلَهُ, it will eat him, الذِّئْبُ, the wolf. وَأَنْتُمْ, while you all, عَنْهُ, about him, غَافِلُونَ, are ones who are unaware. قَالُوا, they said, لَئِنْ, surely if, أَكَلَهُ, it ate him, الذِّئْبُ, the wolf, وَنَحْنُ, while we, عُصْبَةٌ, are a group, إِنَّا, indeed we, إِذَنْ, in that case, لَخَاسِرُونَ, surely would be losers. فَلَمَّا, then when, ذَهَبُوا بِهِ, they took him away, وَأَجْمَعُوا, and they agreed together, أَنْ, that, يَجْعَلُوهُ, they will put him, fi in غَيَابَتِ, bottom, الْجُبِّ, of the well, وَأَوْحَيْنَا, and we revealed, إِلَيْهِ, to him, لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ, surely you will indeed inform them, بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا, of this matter of theirs, وَهُمْ, while they, لَا, not, يَشْعُرُونَ, they perceive. وَجَاءُوا, and they came to, أَبَاهُمْ, their father, عِشَاءً, at night, يَبُكُونَ, as they cry. قَالُوا, they said, يَا أَبَانَا, O our father, إِنَّا, indeed we, ذَهَبْنَا, we went, نَسْتَبِقُ, racing, وَتَرَكْنَا, and we left, يُوسُفَ, Yusuf, عِنْدَ, with, مَتَاعِنَا, our belongings. فأكله, so it ate him, الذئب, the wolf. وما أنت أنت يو بمؤمن لنا, are at all one who will believe us, ولو, even if, كنا, we have been, صادقين, ones who are truthful. وجاءوا, and they brought, على, on, قميصه, his shirt, بدم, blood, كذب, false. قال, he said, بل, rather, سولت لكم, they enticed you all, أنفسكم, your souls, أمرا, to a matter. فصبر, so patience, جميل, beautiful. والله, and Allah, المستعان, is the one from whom help is sought. على, against, ما, what, تصفون, you all describe. وجاءت, and it came, سيارة, a group of travelers, فأرسلوا, so they sent, واردهم, their water fetcher. فأدلى, so he let down, دلوه, his bucket. قال, he said, يا بشرى, O good news, هذا, this, غلام, is a boy. وأسروه, and they hid him, بضاعة, as merchandise, والله, and Allah, عليم, is ever-knowing, بما, of what, يعملون, they do. وشروه, and they sold him, بثمن, for something of value, بخس, reduced. دراهم, silver coins, معدودة, numbered. وكانوا, and they were, فيه, in regard to him, من, among, الزاهدين, those who are uninterested. So alhamdulillah, we're done with the translation. Now inshallah, we'll begin the tafsir. And that will be from ayah number 8. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In ayah number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ, that certainly there are in Yusuf and his brothers signs, meaning lessons for those who ask, meaning for those who are testing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to see whether he is truthful or not. They should actually, instead of testing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they should reflect on the story and derive lessons from it. And ayatul lisa'ilin, remember I mentioned to you earlier that sa'ilin also refers to the companions, because they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a story. And this surah was revealed, so don't just listen to the story for the purpose of enjoyment, that it's a great story, that it's a beautiful story. Yes, it is truly an amazing story, but at the same time, focus on the lessons as well. Focus on the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching you through this story, about how great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan always prevails, and how for the believer there is truly no loss. That no matter what situation a believer is put in, that is actually good for him. So this part of the story now begins with the mention of Yusuf and his brothers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ, meaning recall when the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they said, what did they say amongst each other? They said, لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ, that surely Yusuf and his brother. Now what they meant by his brother was Binyamin, who was the full brother of Yusuf alayhi salam. So they said, Yusuf and his brother, they are أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا, they are more beloved to our father. And who was their father? Yaqub alayhi salam. They said that they're more beloved to him, minna, than us. Meaning our father loves them more than he loves us. And who are we? وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. Whereas the fact is that we are عُصْبَةٌ, a clan. Now this is very interesting. These brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they were from a different mother, okay? And there were 10 in number. And Yusuf and Binyamin, they were from a different mother. So they said that we are an usba. So our father should love us more because we are an usba. And what is an usba? Usba, if you look at the word, it's from the root ayn sad ba. And basically the word usba refers to a company, a group of men that are about 10 in number, who basically league together, they stay together. Why? In order to defend each other. Okay. Basically, the word asab from the same root is used for tendons and ligaments of the body. And what tendons and ligaments do is that they keep the body connected, right? So this is how an usba is. It is a group of people, but it is as if they are one body. They're so united, they're so together, and together they are very strong. So they said that we are an usba, right? We are a clan, and we deserve more love and attention from our father. And when he's not giving us that love and attention, inna abana, indeed our father, lafi dalalim mubin, he is surely in dalalim mubin, in a clear error. Now, this is interesting. The word dalal, generally we understand it as misguidance, right? But remember that dalal is actually of two kinds. One kind of dalal is that which is in religion. So a person is misguided, meaning they're not on the straight path. They're not upon guidance. But there is another kind of dalal, which is in the matters of dunya, right? In worldly matters, where, for example, a person is ignorant, right? Or they're unaware, or they're making a bad decision. So this is what they're referring to. Because remember that their father, Yaqub alayhi salam, was actually a prophet of Allah. So he could not be in misguidance, not at all. What they meant is that he is in clear error, meaning he's making a huge mistake by giving preference to Yusuf and Binyamin over us, because he needs us more than he needs them. We are more in number, we are stronger, we are more able, we are able to help him and support him. And if he is not giving us attention and love, then you know what? He is the one who's missing out. He is the one who's making a huge mistake. Now, there's a couple of things that we need to notice over here. The fact that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam are, you know, talking amongst themselves, and they're talking about their father, they're talking about how their father is being unfair, that their father does not love them. What's happening over here? There is, first of all, bad assumption, right? There is bad assumption of their father. And then there is backbiting, right? And then there's that underlying jealousy towards Yusuf and Binyamin. And then there's that arrogance, that ego, that, you know what, we are better. And then there is blame, there's accusation that, you know, our father is making a huge mistake. Now, first of all, we need to figure out, did Yaqub alayhi salam really love Yusuf and Binyamin more than he loved his other sons? Were they correct in their assumption? The thing is that when it comes to parents, right, parents are supposed to be just and fair with their children. And this is in terms of showing them love, in giving them different things, in giving them attention, in taking care of them. Parents are obligated to be fair and just with their children. And Yaqub alayhi salam was actually a prophet of Allah. And what do you think about a prophet of Allah? Would he not be just and fair? Because the prophets of Allah are not only the most knowledgeable amongst people, they're also the most God-fearing. They're also the most obedient. So we would only expect that Yaqub alayhi salam, given the fact that he was a prophet of Allah, was actually fair with his children in treating them well, in taking care of them, etc. But remember that when it comes to our feelings, right, as human beings, now this is something that we don't have much control over, right? And remember that when it comes to love, loving someone, love is actually a rizq, a provision, a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you in your heart, all right? And remember that when it comes to loving people, or being more friendly with certain individuals, or getting along with them better. Now, this is something that we really don't always have control over. You see, for example, two people, they get along really well together, right? And they may be related, they may not be related. And then there are other people who do not get along well together at all, even though they're related, right? What's the difference over here? It's simple. It's just that some personalities, you know, they click. some individuals, they just get along well together, and some individuals, they just don't get along. They just don't see eye to eye, right? There's just a difference in personality. And this happens sometimes between parents and children as well. That, for example, a father will get along really well with one child and not another child, right? It's just that that one child understands the father, is more obedient, is more respectful, they have better manners, and the other child is always, resisting, always complaining, or always arguing, not really obedient. So, of course, there is going to be a difference, right? So it is quite possible that Yaqub alayhi salam, he did have more love for Yusuf and Binyamin. Why? As we will see in the following verses, it was actually because of the character, because of the behavior of Yusuf alayhi salam. We learned earlier about how when Yusuf alayhi salam had the dream, he spoke to his father, right? And he addressed him in a very loving and respectful way. And in the coming verses, in the following verses, we will see how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, when they spoke to their father, they began with an accusation, right? They were actually very harsh with their father. So of course, this is very natural that when someone deals with you in a harsh way, they push you away, right? And when someone deals with you in a loving way, then of course there is going to be more, the relationship is absolutely going to be better, right? So remember that when it comes to feelings, of course, you don't have control over them. But when it comes to actions, parents have to be fair. And when we look at Yaqub alayhi salam, the verses that are mentioned in the surah, was Yaqub alayhi salam fair with his children? Absolutely he was. If you consider what we have read so far, when Yusuf alayhi salam shared his dream with his father, what did Yaqub alayhi salam tell him? That do not tell your brothers about it, right? So what was Yaqub alayhi salam trying to do? He was trying to protect Yusuf, and he was also trying to protect his other sons, right? That they should not find out about the gift that Yusuf is being given, because naturally they will feel jealous. Naturally they will feel bad. So we see that Yaqub alayhi salam was doing whatever was within his capacity to be fair with all of his children. So when it comes to this accusation that our father loves them more, this is an unfair accusation. This is actually not right, not true at all. And if they're talking about his love, then meaning in his heart, then that is something that a person is not accountable for. When it comes to actions, we see that the actions of Yaqub alayhi salam were certainly very fair. Now, amongst themselves, what are they doing? They're talking, they're backbiting basically, right? About their father. Now remember that backbiting, it is wrong anyway. But backbiting about one's parents, this is worse. Why is it worse? Because who are parents? Parents are people who have done nothing but ihsan towards their children, right? So someone who has been good to you, and if you start backbiting about them, that is worse. That is actually reprehensible, right? Now, of course, parents are not perfect, right? They're human beings. They're not going to be perfect. But still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do ihsan towards our parents. And part of that ihsan is that we overlook their weaknesses, that we think good of them. So what were the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam doing over here? They were talking amongst themselves, backbiting, expressing their ill feelings, their assumptions, and trying to win the support of one another. And they were justifying their anger against their father. Then in the next verse, we see that they said, "Uqtulu Yusuf." They said, "Kill Yusuf." Imagine. It started with what? With backbiting. But remember that one sin certainly leads to another, which leads to another. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. What are the footsteps of shaitan? That when shaitan invites you to one sin, then don't follow him. Don't follow his lead. Because that one sin is going to lead to another, which will lead to another. So a lot of times, if you think about it, bad relationships or a lot of fighting and a lot of aggression and injustice, how does it begin? If you dig into it, it begins with a bad assumption, which leads to backbiting, and then which leads to injustice. So they said, "Uqtulu Yusuf, kill Yusuf," right? "Aw itrahuhu," or cast him, throw him away, "ardan," in a land. Why kill him? Why throw him away? "Yakhlu lakum wajhu abikum," so that the face of your father will become free for you. It will become available to you. "Watakunu min ba'dihi," and then you can be after him, meaning after Yusuf is gone, you've gotten rid of him, you can be after him, "qawman salihin," righteous people. Then everything will be good. Now, it's interesting. They said, kill him or throw him away. And now look at the word itrahuhu. Itrahuhu, this is from tarh, taraha. And tarh is to throw something away, fling it away, discard it as if it was a piece of garbage. And this shows the hatred that they had for Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, it's interesting, it is mentioned, uqtulu Yusuf. They said, kill Yusuf. Meaning all of them said, kill Yusuf or throw him away. Now, of course, when there's 10 people talking amongst themselves, it's not that all 10 of them spoke together, kill Yusuf. No, one must have said it, right? But why is it attributed to all of them? Because they were all a part of this conversation. So they were all guilty of it. And this is something that we need to take very seriously. Because, sometimes we say that, I'm not backbiting. They are. But you know what? Someone cannot backbite unless and until you give them a listening ear, right? Someone cannot talk bad about another unless and until you are there to listen to them. So this is why it's necessary that we neither backbite ourselves nor listen to it. We neither lie ourselves nor listen to those lies. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. Sama'una lil kadhib. There are those who listen to lies a lot, meaning they participate in such conversations. So, uqtulu Yusufa aw itrahuhu. They said, kill him or get rid of him. Now, if you look at the previous ayah, right, they said, our father loves Yusuf and Binyamin more. As if to say that it's because Yusuf and Binyamin are from a different mother, right? This is why our father likes, that side of his family more. And he doesn't like us. But now, look at the fact that they're trying to get rid of only Yusuf. They're not trying to get rid of Binyamin, right? Why? Because they actually had a problem with Yusuf alayhi salam. Okay? They disliked Yusuf alayhi salam. They didn't have a problem with Binyamin. And they didn't have a problem with the fact that Yusuf and Binyamin were from a different mother. The real issue over here was against who? They were jealous of Yusuf alayhi salam. So they said, kill him or throw him away. Where? Ardan, in a land. Notice the word ardan. This is nakira. You can see from the fathatain at the end. And this creates ambiguity. Meaning, just throw him away in another land, a place that we don't know, that our father does not know about, so that he will not be able to find him. So kill him so he's no longer alive, or get rid of him so that he cannot be found. He cannot be with our father, and the benefit will be yakhlu lakum wajhu abikum. Yakhlu, this is from kha, lam, waw. And yakhlu is when something becomes empty, void. So the face of your father will become free. Meaning right now, the face of your father is directed only to Yusuf, right? Now he can only see Yusuf. He's only showing his love to him. So if we get rid of Yusuf, what's going to happen is that, you know, he's going to be able to notice you and he's going to be able to love you. So again, we see that they're blaming Yusuf alayhi salam for what? For their poor relationship with their father. Basically, what they believed was that because Yusuf is here, our father fails to notice us. Now, when we have a bad relationship with someone, it's very easy to start blaming other people, right? That because, you know, for example, my extended family is here, this is why my children don't listen to me, right? Or because this person is a really good student and, you know, the teacher likes this person, this is why the teacher does not notice me. No, what we need to do, if we feel that people don't acknowledge us or they don't, you know, appreciate us or they don't, you know, give us what we believe we deserve, then instead of blaming other people, what we need to do is to look at ourselves. That what is it that I am doing? What is it that I can do? Because you see, when we blame other people, we're basically saying that we have no control over the situation. But when we take responsibility, when we introspect, we believe that, you know what, we have a say over here. We have some control. I can do something to improve my relationship. And so the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they blamed Yusuf for their poor relationship with their father, and they failed to see what was wrong with them. They failed to see where they were in the wrong. So they said, kill him, get rid of him, so that finally your father can notice you. So basically, because Yusuf is here, this is why our life is difficult. And they said, وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمٌ صَالِحِينَ. And you will be after him, meaning after you get rid of Yusuf, you can be salih people. Now, who is salih? Salih is someone who is, basically salih means two things over here, as you can see in the translation. One is those who are righteous, meaning you will be righteous afterwards. How? That, you know, after killing him or after getting rid of him, we will do tawbah. We will repent to Allah. We will seek forgiveness. Okay? And you know what? After Yusuf is gone, then we will be obedient to our father. And this is how we will become righteous. But salih doesn't just mean righteous. Salih also is someone whose matters are good. Someone whose affairs, whose situation, whose condition is good. So what they said, but what they meant by saying وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمٌ صَالِحِينَ, meaning that in your worldly matters, you will be good. Meaning things will finally be good for you once Yusuf is gone. So again, instead of reflecting on themselves, they found an external target to blame. So وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. It's interesting how they intended to do tawbah before even committing the sin, right? Which shows that, you know what, they did have something good deep down in their hearts. You know, they did have that realization that this is wrong and they would have to repent from it. But they intended to repent later on. Why? In order to justify the crime for themselves. And a lot of people do this, you know, do this wrong action, commit this haram. And you know what, later on you can fast, Ramadan is coming, and inshallah that will get rid of all of my sins. Why? Because, you know, just the idea of committing a sin does not settle well, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us upon fitrah, and the fitrah, our natural disposition is such that it doesn't accept wrong, right? There is a moral compass inside that stops you, you know, that tells you that this is not okay. So in order to do something wrong, you have to justify it, right? You have to make it easier on yourself. You have to remove the guilt. So how is it that people remove that guilt? By saying that, you know what, we'll repent afterwards. So they said, وَتَكُونُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Now, One thing I want you to notice over here is that these boys, right, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, who are they? They are the children of a prophet of Allah, right? They are the great-grandchildren of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And even though their father, their grandfather, their great-grandfather, all of them were prophets, right? You can imagine what a beautiful upbringing they must have had. But still, Shaitan managed to convince them, right? And this jealousy, it made them think of such an evil idea. And this shows us that no person is safe from the attack of Shaitan, even the children of a prophet, right? So just because our parents are righteous or our grandfather was a hafiz or, you know, we come from a very righteous family, it doesn't mean that we are immune. No, Shaitan is after everybody. So it is necessary that we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. That, oh Allah, you save me from the plot of Shaitan. Oh Allah, you save me, you protect me from my own evil. And we see that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they were suffering from jealousy. That was the disease that was at play over here. And what is hasad? Jealousy is that you do not like the fact that someone has a certain blessing. You just don't like that idea that someone has a certain blessing. But then jealousy leads to that desire that that blessing should be taken away from them. So the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they did not like the fact that their father loved Yusuf alayhi salam. And they thought that in order to win their father's love, they had to get rid of Yusuf alayhi salam. They were so desperate for the attention of their father that they intended to kill their brother. And this is the danger of jealousy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually warned us that there are two things that can never be together in the heart of a slave. And what are these two things? Iman and hasad. Faith and envy can never be together. Which means that jealousy is something that we have to fight. Jealousy is something that we have to, control. We cannot let it take over us. Again, the feelings of jealousy, they do emerge, right? And you don't always have control over it. But what you do have control over is what you do with those feelings. Meaning, are you going to talk about it? Are you going to dwell over it? Are you going to pursue it? Are you going to follow its lead, or are you going to try to fight it, try to resist it, and try to defeat it? So what happened? They're talking amongst themselves, and then in the next ayah we learn, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ. One of them said. So amongst them, they're talking about killing Yusuf, getting rid of him. So قَالَ, he said, قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ, a speaker among them. This is from Qawl, Qaf Waw Lam, meaning one of the brothers said, La taqtulu Yusuf, do not kill Yusuf. Don't kill Yusuf. Wa alquhu, and instead, alquhu, you can throw him, get rid of him, but where is it that we throw him? Fi ghayabatil jub, in the bottom of a well. Why throw him over there? Because then, يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَ. Some travelers, you know, they will pick him up from there. And so they will take him and we don't have to worry about him. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. If you are truly going to do something, then this is what you should do instead of killing him. So now, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ. One of them spoke out, right? That don't kill, because killing is something too serious. And this again shows us that they did have some good sense in them, right? They were not all bad. They were not all evil. And also they did have a soft corner for Yusuf alayhi salam, which shows us that Yusuf alayhi salam, there was truly something about him which made him so lovable, right? That even those who, you know, his brothers who hated him, one of them said that killing was not justified. right? It was not okay to kill Yusuf alayhi salam. So they said, لا تقتلوا يوسف. He said, don't kill him. And what you can do instead is throw him in غيابة الجب. Now the word غيابة الجب, غيابة is from غيب. غيابة. And غيب, as you know, is that which is unseen, that which is hidden. And غيابة is the part of something that conceals. Okay? So for example, if you have a bag, right? There is an external side of the bag and the inner side of the bag. So if you put something inside the bag, it's going to be hidden over there. It's going to be concealed over there. So غيابة الجب, what is this part of the well? This is, of course, the depth of the well, the bottom of the well, because when something is left at the is thrown in the bottom of the well, it cannot be seen because it's too dark, right? And al-jub is a well that is deep, so deep that if you look into it, you cannot see the bottom, right? And it's also a well that is not frequented much, meaning it's not really used that much. And it shows over here that this well was far away from where the people lived, which is why they said that some travelers will pick him up. And sayyara, a group of travelers. So they will pick him up. Yaltaqithu is the word for picking up. And iltiqat, lam qaf ta, is to pick up something that was dropped by someone else. Basically, luqata is a lost object. And iltiqat is to find a lost object and to pick it up. So they said, يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَةِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. If you're truly going to do something, meaning if you really want to get rid of him, don't commit a big sin, commit a small one, right? And this is also something amazing. Look at how, you know, the nafs, it justifies wrongdoing, right? Of course, throwing him in the well is also wrong. But look at how they say, you know what? It's better, right? It's better than killing him. Both are wrong. But they justify their wrong action by saying that, you know what? It's not that bad at least. So now, in order to carry out their plan, they had to, of course, get Yusuf to that well. How would they do that? They went to their father. قالوا, they said, يَا أَبَانَا, O our father, مَالَكَ, what is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? That لا تأمنا على يوسف, that you do not trust us with Yusuf. لا تأمنا is from أمن, Hamza, Mim, Noon is the root. Amana is from the same root. Amana is what you give as a trust to someone so that they guard it. So why is it that you don't trust us? على يوسف, about Yusuf, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. Well, the fact is that we are to him sincere counselors. We want the best for him, but you don't trust us. So they came up with a plan to throw him into the well. But now, look at how they are talking to their father. Okay? And I want you to focus on, what kind of a relationship they had with their father and the reasons behind why Yaqub alayhi salam, would be, even though he would be just with them, why is it that the brothers felt that, you know, their father did not love him as much? What are some things that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam did by which they pushed their father away? Now, the first thing is, look at how they speak to their father. They said, Ya Abana ma laka. Or, Father, what is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? So they begin by accusing their father that it's all your fault. You know, we're fine, we're good, but the problem is in you. It's your fault. You don't trust us. And then there's emotional blackmail, right? You don't trust us. We are worthy of trust, but you don't trust us. And then we see that they're lying over here when they say, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ, that we are really sincere to him. We want the best for Yusuf. They're lying over here and they're using sweet words, right, to cover up their evil plan. They say, يَا أَبَانَا. They begin with, يَا أَبَانَا, right? But then they instantly follow that with something very harsh. That malaka, what is wrong with you? You don't trust us, right? And this is the problem with being two-faced, right? That even when a person is pretending to be nice, right? That pretense is not going to last for long. That fakeness is not going to last for long. The reality will come out sooner or later, you know, in different ways. So on the surface, they're trying to be very nice and respectful. Oh, our father. But then the truth comes out. Malaka, right? What's wrong with you? So the fact is that truth reveals itself. Even if a person tries to conceal it with lies, right, with pretense, the truth will become evident. So they said, what is wrong with you that you don't trust us? Meaning, what causes you to fear us in regard to Yusuf? Why are you so afraid? And the fact is that, وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ Nasihun is a plural of nasih. Nasih is someone who is very sincere to another, someone who wants the best for another. So we love for him what we love for ourselves. You know, we care about him. We want the best for him. But you don't trust him with us, which is why you don't send him with us. Now, this shows us that really Yaqub alayhi salam did not send Yusuf alayhi salam with his other sons. Why is that so? Well, you know, remember that when parents don't allow something, okay, like for example, you want to go to a friend's house and they don't allow you to go, right? Or for example, there's a little child and he wants his like 10th cookie, right? And the parents don't allow that. It's not out of spite, okay? It is to protect their children. And again, this shows us the justice of Yaqub alayhi salam. He did whatever he could to protect all of his children. So why would he not send Yusuf alayhi salam with his other sons? There could be different reasons. Perhaps he saw how they were negligent about him, or perhaps he saw how they bullied him, right, or how they ganged up against him, or how they would perhaps ignore him. So in order to protect them from hurting Yusuf, and in order to protect Yusuf from getting hurt by them, what would Yaqub alayhi salam do? It seems as if he would separate them. He would not let them be together, and he would not let them be together alone. All right, and this is something that parents sometimes need to do. I mean, I do that as a mother. Right, when I see that, for example, kids are fighting, I separate them. I do not let them be together. Right, one is in one room, the other is in the other room. They have their own alone time, because sometimes children can be, a source of, fitna for each other. And if you just let them be and say that, you know what, let them fight, that's unfair, because one child is getting bullied, right, and another child is now, developing that bad habit of bullying and hurting others. So it's in the best interest of all of such children to be separated when they are, prone to hurting one another, right? And it's also possible, another reason why Yaqub alayhi salam would not send Yusuf with them is because Yusuf alayhi salam was younger, right? And his other children would take the animals for pasture. And when you do that, you go far off, from home. So Yusuf alayhi salam perhaps was younger. And another reason could be that Yusuf alayhi salam, it's possible that he was more into learning from Yaqub alayhi salam, right? That was his strength. And the other children, their strength was taking animals for pasture and other work, and that was their strength. And this is actually good judgment of parents when they give to each child what that child needs. This is not about being unfair. This is about giving to each child what that child needs. So they said, مَا لَكَ لَا تَأْمَنَّ عَلَى يُوسُفْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. You know, we want the best for him. Give us a chance, please. We'll show you. And they said, أَرُسِلْهُ مَعَنَا. أَرُسِلْهُ, send him ma'ana with us, غَدًا tomorrow. Meaning tomorrow when we go take our animals for pasture, send him with us. Why? So that يَرُتَعْ, he will eat well, وَيَلْعَبْ, and he will play, وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, and you don't need to worry because we're going to diligently guard him, we're going to protect him, he will be safe. So they said, send him with us tomorrow, يَرُتَعْ. This word يَرْتَعْ is interesting. It's from the root رَتَعَيْن, and it basically means two things. رَتَعْ is to eat at pleasure, okay? Meaning to eat and drink whatever one wants. So they said, send him with us so that he can enjoy himself eating, right? Different things, different fruits, wherever we're going to go. He's going to have fun. And then secondly, رَتَعْ is to come and go. And this is specifically for, for example, animals, they come and go, in the pasture by day, where there's plenty of food, plenty of grass, so that they can eat comfortably. So yarta, meaning he will enjoy himself running around, going here and there. Wayal'ab, and he will play. So basically they're saying that, you know what? Yusuf is missing out and we feel bad for him. So let him come with us tomorrow. Let him eat. Let him enjoy running around and let him play with us. And we're going to protect him. We're going to, take care of him and guard him. Notice how, first of all, they say, وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَنَاصِحُونَ. We want the best for him. We are sincere to him. And now they say, وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We're going to guard him, we're going to protect him, we're going to take care of him. You see, people who whose actions are not loud enough, right? Who fall short in their actions, they have to make up for it through words, right? So look at how much they have to try to convince their father that we are sincere. Sincerity shows, right? We will guard and protect. That also shows. So remember that when a person is falling short in their actions, they try to make up for it through their talk. This is why they have to keep saying, we are nasihun, we are hafidun. Qala, now Yusuf alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, he said to them that inni layahzununi, that indeed it saddens me. Right, it makes me very sad, and this is from huzn, ha zainun, which is to grieve over losing something that one likes. Okay, so he said, it makes me sad, and tadhhabu bihi, that you should take him. Meaning, if you take him for the entire day, I'll miss him too much. Wa akhafu an ya'kulahu dhi'bu, and at the same time, I fear that a wolf will eat him. Why would a wolf eat him? Not because you're not strong enough to guard and protect him, because you're human and وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ, while you are unaware of him, while you're busy with something, you're not really paying attention, it's possible that a wolf comes and eats him. So I'm not blaming you, I'm just saying that it's possible this can happen. So Yaqub alayhi salam, he was very honest over here. Look at the honesty, right, of Yaqub alayhi salam, and look at the dishonesty of these brothers. How is he honest? He says that I will miss him if he's gone, right? And secondly, I worry for his safety. Now, it shows that really Yaqub alayhi salam was hesitant in sending Yusuf alayhi salam with them, right? And some say that, he came up with this excuse that I fear that a wolf will eat him. Because how could a wolf eat a boy, right? And even if a wolf, kills a boy, okay, yes, that's possible. But, perhaps he was making this, making an excuse over here to not send Yusuf alayhi salam with them. So what did the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam do? Did they comply? Did they say, okay, father, we understand your concern, we trust your instinct? Qalu, they said, لَئِنْ أَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ If a wolf eats him, وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَ While we are a strong clan, إِنَّا إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ Then surely we will be among the losers. We would then be surely losers. Meaning, how is it possible for a wolf to eat him while we are there to protect him? And if we are not able to protect him, then what good is there in us? Then we're losers. You know, there's no good in us. So again, with their words, they're trying to show their sincerity, right? But what's really sad over here is the fact that they are insisting and arguing until they get their father to agree. And this is something that is good in some situations, that you don't just accept a no for an answer, right? That you insist and insist until the other party agrees. You know, you should have that, that determination. But at the same time, you know, insisting and making people uncomfortable and insisting so that they finally comply and they agree with you, this is actually not a good strategy. And it hurts other people. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he decided something that affected the companions, he would consult them. And this is something that Allah mentions in the Quran, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ Consult the companions, right? And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam consulted them, sometimes, it was such that what they wanted was very different from what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted. Like, for example, the Battle of Uhud. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to defend Medina from the inside. But there were companions who were very eager to go out and have a full-on battle. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw that, you know, this is what they really want to do, he agreed with them. And then afterwards, even though some people, you know, they felt bad that they had insisted, and they went and apologized to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that, you know, once the armor has been put on, it's not going to be removed. You know, once we have made our decision, this is it. We're going to stick to our plan. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not force, you know, people to agree with him. And this is something very, very important. There needs to be a balance. You shouldn't be a pushover, right? That you just accept whatever people say. But at the same time, you shouldn't be stubborn, that you never consider what others are saying. And the same thing is important within our families, that, you know, be accommodating. Don't insist and beg and argue until the other party, you know, is forced to agree with you, right? Some kids, subhanAllah, you know, they have this really bad habit that, you know, if they want something, they will keep insisting until the parents, you know, they just get fed up and they get tired, and just to make their children quiet, they will surrender, they will give in. And this is something that parents generally should not do, right? So قالوا لئن أكله الذئب ونحن عصبة إنا إذا لخاسرون Then we will surely be losers. Now notice how Yaqub alayhi salam, you know, he expressed his fears, right? His apprehension. And look at how they respond to him. That how could a wolf eat him? If it eats him, you know what? What good is there in us? It's almost as if they're mocking, you know, their father. They're laughing at their father. That how is this possible? And this is something that, unfortunately, many children are guilty of. You know, when parents mention something, a lot of times children will make fun of them, right? And these days, subhanAllah, you know, mothers are being given certificates of graduating from WhatsApp University, etc. If your mother is sharing with you that you should have, for example, honey and lemon and ginger, etc., to boost your immunity, you know, what's wrong with that, right? Why mock at your parents? You know, sometimes parents do say things which are wrong, or which may be backward, or which may not be backed by any proof, evidence whatsoever. And you can just say, interesting, instead of making fun of them and hurting their feelings. Because annoying one's parents, hurting one's parents, this is something that does not befit any righteous person at all. You can disagree with your parents. You can know and believe that they are wrong, that they are misinformed, and you can tell them about that. But it is not correct to laugh at your parents, right? Laughing at anybody, mocking at anybody is wrong. But mocking your own parents, this is unacceptable. We learn about Ibrahim alayhi salam imagine his father worshipped idols, right? His father made idols and worshipped them. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, he did not mock at his father. He did not belittle his father. He spoke to him in such a respectful way. And if really you need to have a conversation with your mom, for example, about WhatsApp messages, you can have that in a dignified way. You don't have to insult her, right? You don't have to, make fun of her in front of your friends. This is extremely disrespectful. So they said, لَإِنْ أَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّا إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ So basically they argued and argued until Yaqub alayhi salam looked like the bad guy, right? Basically what they were implying was that you do not trust us. You are depriving Yusuf of having fun. And you have irrational fears, right? So they made Yaqub alayhi salam look like a bad guy, and they got him to agree. They insisted and insisted until Yaqub alayhi salam gave up. And they used lies, they used trickery, they used false oaths in order to get him to agree. And when it comes to lying, remember, this is something very, very dangerous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned us that lying, and lying is something that leads to sin, and sin leads to hell. And a person keeps on lying until he is written as a liar near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can see over here how they lied so many times, not just one lie. They lied multiple times. When they said, for example, you don't trust us, right? And they said, we are sincere to Yusuf. And they said, Yusuf will play and have fun and eat. No, their plan was to torture him, right? And they said, we will guard him. No, they weren't planning to guard him at all. And then they said, how could a wolf eat him? We are there to protect him. That was also a lie. So they lied not just once, but multiple times. And you see, earlier I mentioned that how one sin leads to another. So you have to stop right at the beginning. And if you notice, all of these problems, right, all of these sins that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam fell into began with what? With backbiting. Okay? The jealousy was there. And that is something that's not always in your control. But when you talk about it, when you act on it, that is where it becomes problematic. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ So when they took him away, meaning they managed to take Yusuf alayhi salam away from his father, وَأَجْمَعُوا And they all agreed. أَجْمَعُوا This is from ijma'. Ijma' is to unanimously agree to do something or upon something. So they all agreed أَنْ يَجْعَلُوهُ That they will put him فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ In the bottom of the well. This was their plan. And they did that. They took him to a well. They threw him in the well. And they left him there. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention any of those gory details. Okay, which well it was. The fact that they actually threw him in the well. Because you know what? All those gory details are not the focus. Nor are they details on which we should dwell. What is important is the fact that وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled Yusuf alayhi salam in that darkness. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted Yusuf alayhi salam in that loneliness and in that fear, in that place where Yusuf alayhi salam had been abandoned by his brothers. stolen from his father, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him comfort. And remember that when something terrible happens, at the same time, something good is also happening, right? It goes together, hand in hand. Because remember, there is no decree of Allah except that it has something good in it and something good that will come out of it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, in His hand is all good. Meaning whatever comes from Him is also good, right? So when we're experiencing something difficult, yes, that is painful. Yes, that is hard. But along with that difficulty, along with that, that loss or that pain is also a benefit, all right? And this is something that each and every single one of us, needs to focus on. And this is a skill that we need to develop. That in every difficulty, we also seek the ease. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that with difficulty is ease. So for example, these days, yes, we are stuck at home, and yes, we can make a whole list of things that are not working in our favor, things that we are indeed finding hard. And there is no denying that, right? That yes, things are tough. Yes, things are hard. Yes, things are painful. Yes, our life has been turned upside down and we don't know when this ordeal is going to end, right? And these are times which, we never expected, and we almost don't know how to navigate through them, right? So a lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people don't know how and when they will be graduating, right? Or this is not at least the graduation that they expected, right? A lot of people are worried about their school, their career, their next term, and completing their degree on time. Every individual has their own concerns. Some people are at home, and they're not really getting along well with their families, and every day is very, very difficult. Some people are stuck with, family members who are abusing them, right? There are mothers who are constantly working without any break. Absolutely, there is difficulty. But each and every single person needs to look at their own life, okay? We're not going to be judging other people's lives and say things like, oh, they're having it so easy, right? They're so lucky. No, instead of thinking, judging other people's lives, look at your own life and see, yes, embrace and acknowledge the difficulty that you're experiencing. Don't deny that, because it is a reality, right? They threw him in the well. It's a fact, all right? And just like that, you are experiencing hardship. Acknowledge that. Embrace it. But don't just dwell on the hardship. Also look at the ease that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you at this moment, right? And remember that when a person focuses on gratitude, right, then what happens is that their blessings also increase. Because gratitude is something, and patience is something that brings about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval. So, what they did with Yusuf alayhi salam was terrible, but notice how all of those details have been left out. And the focus is entirely on what? وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. We inspire to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he did wahi to Yusuf alayhi salam at this time. And it is said that this wahi was actually wahi, meaning this is where Yusuf alayhi salam received the first revelation, okay? And others say that no, Yusuf alayhi salam was too young at this point. This was not revelation as a prophet receives it, but this was, an inspiration, meaning as a message that was conveyed to him, just as a message was conveyed to, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, for example. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him through whatever means that he did, that لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ, that surely Yusuf, you will indeed inform them. This is from Naba. Okay? You will indeed inform your brothers of what? بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا, of this affair of theirs. Which affair of theirs? Of how they lied to your father, how they cheated you, they cheated your father, and they now abandoned you in this well. You will inform them. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ And they will not perceive. They will not realize. What is it that they will not realize? The fact that it is you, your identity. Why is it that they will not realize? Because it will be after a very long time. Or because they will never expect that that you will reach the position that you will. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him in this distress. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him good news that Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, he will survive. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unite him with his family again. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him before his brothers from a position of strength and honor. So do not grieve, basically. Do not give up. So we see over here how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted Yusuf alayhi salam. And just imagine a child in a well thrown by his brothers. And if you ever feel, if you ever realize that someone has betrayed you, you know, they've cheated you. And imagine now Yusuf alayhi salam was distanced from his family. And this is such a terrible feeling, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled him. And this is something that can bring us sabr as well. That, you know what the other party has done? Yes, they are wrong. Yes, they are guilty. But Allah will not deprive me. Allah will not let me only suffer, right? That through the suffering or in the suffering, despite the suffering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of me. So it is very important that we develop that ability to focus on what we are gaining and to have hope and not give up. That yes, we are stuck here, but this is not going to last forever. So now Yusuf alayhi salam is in the well. And what happens to his brothers? What do they do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ وَجَاءُوا and they came, meaning the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they came to who? أَبَاهُمْ their father. When? عِشَاءً at night. And how did they come? In what state? يَبْكُونَ they were weeping, they were crying. So the first thing is that they came at night. Why did they go home at night? This was later than usual. And they did that to show that something terrible had happened. You know, they were delayed by something that was beyond their control. Something terrible had happened. And then secondly, they came in the night. Why? Because in the night is darkness, and in the darkness, it's easier to pretend, right? Because they weren't really actually crying. This was fake crying. So it was easier to fake that crying in the darkness. And remember that Isha is the beginning of the night, the first part of the night. So they came crying, and قالوا, they said, Ya Abana, O our father, Inna ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقُ We went racing. Okay, نَسْتَبِقُ from سِين بَاقَاف, istibaq is to try to get ahead of each other. So we were racing each other, meaning we were playing, and وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا And we left Yusuf with our possessions. Why? To keep an eye. Or because he could not participate in the race. So we left him with our possessions. And what happened? When we came back, we found فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ A wolf ate him. And then they said وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا And you are never going to believe us. وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ Even if we were truthful. Because you don't trust us. So again, we see that they're lying, right? Remember, a person keeps on lying until they're recorded as a liar. And we see that again, they're blaming their father. That even though we're truthful, you're not going to believe us. You suspect us of lying. So, you know what? It's a lose-lose situation for us. You know, some people have this attitude, woe is me, right? So they say that the problem is in you. You don't trust us. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ And now in order to prove themselves, what did they do? وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ They brought upon his shirt false blood. دَمٍ كَذِبٍ Dam is blood. كَذِبٍ is literally a lie, meaning that blood was not actual, actually Yusuf alayhi salam's blood. This was from something else. They brought his shirt with fake blood on it. Why? To prove that here is the shirt of Yusuf. Look, he was killed. A wolf ate him. Did Yaqub alayhi salam accept that? No, he didn't. Qala, he said, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Rather, your souls have enticed you to something. What a dignified response. He didn't say you're lying. He didn't say, you know what? I'm going to beat you up until you tell me the truth. And I'm going to ground you and I'm going to do this and that until you tell me the truth and you bring Yusuf back. Yaqub alayhi salam was not harsh, right? And he said, سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَمْرًا. Your nafs, your own soul made something so wrong easy for you. So what am I going to do? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I'm just going to observe beautiful patience. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ. And Allah is the one from whom I will seek help. عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Over what you lie. So we see that Yaqub alayhi salam didn't believe them. Why did he not believe them? Because they used the very excuse that he had made, right? He said that I fear if you take him, the wolf will eat him. And now they said that the wolf ate him. And secondly, he did not believe them because, how could they, how is it that the wolf ate the boy but left his shirt? How is that possible? Did the wolf take the shirt off and then eat him? Or did the wolf eat him and finish his body completely until only the shirt was left? How is that possible? Right? So this is why it was obviously a fake evidence. So Yaqub alayhi salam did not fall for that. And also remember, Yaqub alayhi salam knew about the dream of Yusuf. And he knew that Yusuf could not have died. So he said, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Now this is something very important that we need to understand. You see the word سَوَّلَتْ. This is from the root سِين وَاوْ لَام. And a soul is an object of desire or wish, meaning something that you really want, something that you really like. Now sometimes the things that we like, the things that we want, are not really good for us, right? They're not right. We should not do them. We should not have them. It's not right. It's not good for us. It's unfair or it's unlawful. So if the soul wants something, but at the same time, you know that it's not good for you, how is it that you're going to, justify it for yourself, right? There's different ways. One is that you start thinking about all the fun and all the good that is in it. And this is taswil. Okay? Taswil is the soul's embellishing of a thing that it eagerly desires. Okay? Meaning when the soul makes the desired object look so good. And even though the desired object, what the person desires, is actually wrong or is actually bad, you begin to justify it or you begin to perceive it as something good. For example, killing Yusuf alayhi salam or throwing him in the well, how could anyone accept it? Throwing him in the well, how could a person justify it? It's wrong, right? It's wrong. Lying to your own father, such an affectionate father, a prophet of Allah, this is wrong. But how can a person do something that they know is wrong when they begin to perceive it as something good? When they begin to perceive it as something good. And this is why, where we need to seek Allah's protection against the evil of shaitan, we also need to seek Allah's protection against the evil of the nafs. Because you know what? Your nafs also plays with you. Your desire also plays with you. You know something is wrong, but you convince yourself that, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. It's actually fun. It's actually great. Right? And there's different ways of tasweer. There's different ways where, for example, you stop focusing on the harm and you start focusing on the fun aspect of it, or on the benefit of it, right? And another way of tasweel is when the soul makes it easy. And it's something that is so serious, but you perceive it as something not that big of a deal, as something light. So he said, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا, that this was something so huge, so serious, but you convinced yourselves to do it. So that you consider it to be small, you don't consider it to be a big deal, and even though you know deep down that it's wrong, but you still believe that it was good for you. بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. So he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So my way is going to be of sabrun jameel, of beautiful patience. Meaning I am going to observe beautiful patience and I am going to seek Allah's help over the lies that you have set to me. Now, this is very interesting. He said, I am going to observe sabrun jameel. Does that mean that sabr can also be ugly? Yes, it can be. There is a sabr that is beautiful and there is a sabr that is not beautiful. Okay, now generally when we think about sabr, we think that sabr is very bitter, it's very hard, you know, it's not very pleasant. But the fact is that sabr can also be beautiful. How is it that sabr can be beautiful? Let's look at the meaning of the word sabr. Sabr is literally to confine or restrain oneself. Okay, restrain oneself. Now, let me give you an example to help you understand. You see, there are people who will eat a salad as if they're being punished, right? And there are other people who will eat a salad and they will enjoy every single bite, right? There are people who will stay away from unhealthy food and that is so hard for them, right? And they act as if they're being punished, they're being tortured. And there are other people who will actually choose to stay away from those things, right? And they're really fine with not eating those unhealthy foods. What's the difference? The difference is that one person has embraced a certain reality and the other person has not embraced it, right? The first person has not embraced it, which is why when they don't get that sugary food, you know, they look as if they're gonna die. When they have to get on the treadmill, it's as if somebody is torturing them, right? When they're given that salad to eat, it's as if someone has done a great injustice to them. You can see it on their face, in their complaints, in their whining, in their, overall body language. It's so obvious. And there's another person, right? The second person, they have embraced it. That, you know what? For my well-being, for my health, I need to make these changes. Right? And when they make those changes, guess what? They embrace those changes. And with that, they live in so much dignity and peace. So sabrun jameel, beautiful patience, the foundation of it is acceptance, right? Acceptance of what? Acceptance of one's reality. That this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for me. This happened by Allah's permission and I will embrace it. I will accept it. So sabrun jameel is a sabr with rida. Okay? With rida. Rida meaning being pleased with Allah's decree. Accepting Allah's decree. Right? Being content with it. Embracing it. And that by definition means that a person will not be complaining all the time. That means that a person will not be whining all the time, right? Yes, they may be struggling, right? It's not always easy. They are struggling, but they're not going to go on complaining all the time. They're not going to be like that first person who is, you know, fussing over a salad that what is this, you know, and they're complaining about it constantly. And remember that sabrun jameel is a sabr with izzah. Okay, it is a sabr with izzah. Izzah meaning dignity and composure. All right, that is what makes sabr, that patience, beautiful. How is there dignity and composure? That a person is not, you know, whining and fussing before people and complaining, and all that they can do is just, scream and yell and say words that are inappropriate. No, sabr jamil is sabrul izzah. Okay, and then thirdly, sabrun jamil is a sabr of ikhtiyar. Ikhtiyar as in you choose to be patient, right? You make that decision that, you know what, I am going to respond to this with patience. One kind of sabr is the sabr of qahr, meaning, and ittirar, which is that, you know what, I don't have a choice. Right, I don't have a choice. What can I do? Which is like that person who is given a salad. So, you know, they're really upset. They don't want to eat. They're sitting in a bad mood. They've got the worst facial expression. And with every bite, you know what, they eat it and then they complain. And then they take another bite and then they're moping. And, you know, they're visibly upset. But you know what? They do end up finishing that salad, but with great difficulty. Right? This is not the sabr of choice. This is a sabr of compulsion. That, you know what, I can't do anything about it. So, whatever. I hate this, but what can I do? Sabrun jamil is sabr of ikhtiyar, meaning you choose to be patient. You know, you decide that, you know what, this is what Allah has decreed for me, and I am going to respond to this with composure. I am going to respond to this with acceptance. And this is what makes patience beautiful. And this is what brings fortitude. So he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. And this is something that we all need to think about. Because every day, you know, we learn about new things and news that frightens us, that scares us, that tells us that our plans are even more delayed, or now they're certainly going to be cancelled. Or every day we face a new difficulty, a different kind of a challenge. And there's two ways of responding. One is with impatience, right? And the other is with patience. One is with dignity and the other is with, you know, jaza, right? With complaints all the time. So Yaqub alayhi salam, imagine he lost his son. And you know, when you find out that someone else came and killed your child, okay, you can have, you know, you can, it's easier to be patient. But when you know that your own children have done something, right, and they're lying to you, they have betrayed you, and God knows how they hurt your child, and this is even more difficult. This is a greater challenge. And when you know for sure that, for example, someone killed your child, you have closure. But in this situation, Yaqub alayhi salam had no closure, right? So he said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. And he said, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Allah is the one whose help I'm going to seek against what you tasifun. Tasifun is from wasf, and wasf is a description, meaning whatever you describe, whatever lies you are giving, I seek Allah's help. What happened with Yusuf alayhi salam? وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ. On the other hand, there came a group of travelers. Where? To the well. And when they reached the well, فَأَرُسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ, they sent their warid. Warid is from the root letters wawra dal, and wurud is to arrive at a watering place. Basically, people would travel in groups, and they would send individuals ahead, you know, in different directions to look for water. So the person who would go looking for water was a warid. So they sent their water drawer. What did he do? He found this well. And when he came to this well, فَأَدْلَى, he lowered دَلْوَهُ, his bucket. Both of these words are from the same root, دَلْ لَمْ وَاوْ. He dropped his bucket, he let down his bucket into the well. And when he began pulling it up, he sees that there is a boy. Okay, قَالَ, he said, يَا بُشْرَى. When he looks down into the well and he sees his, you know, bucket, he's trying to pull it up, he sees that there is a boy. He says, Ya Bushra, oh, what good news. Okay, Bushra, good news. هذا غلام, this is a boy. Why was it good news for them? Were they interested in adopting a child? No, this was free, you know, property. Because at that time, people, you know, human beings were sold as slaves. So this guy said, what good news? This is a young boy, and meaning we can sell him and we can make a whole lot of money. وَأَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَ, and they concealed him as merchandise. They hid him right away. أَسَرُّهُ سِنُرَرَ, to conceal something. Why did they conceal him? So that nobody would see him and recognize him, that, you know what, this boy is from this area, he must have fallen. No, they concealed him as merchandise, as something to sell. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah was fully aware of what they were doing. Think about it now. Yusuf alayhi salam, he is discovered by these people and they don't even bother to ask him, where are you from? How come you're here? Is everything okay? They don't care about Yusuf alayhi salam at all. All they want to do is just get rid of him quickly to make money. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu alimun bima yarmalun. And this is so important. When people are mistreating you, right? When people are mistreating you, you feel neglected. You feel that people are being unfair with you. Remember, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ, Allah is fully aware of whatever that people are doing. Their injustice is not unknown to Allah. And Allah will bring about justice. He will give you what you deserve. So what did these people do? وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ, وَشَرَوْهُ, and they sold him. Shin Raya is the root. بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. ثَمَن is a price that you get for selling something, or the price that you pay for buying something. So they sold him in exchange for a ثَمَن, a value that was بَخْس. Now بَخْس is reduced, okay? Meaning they didn't really sell him for the value that he was worth. And that is true, right? Because first of all, no matter who it is, there's no money, you know, there's no price tag that you can attach to a human being, right? And then secondly, he was Yusuf. How could any price tag, you know, be equal his worth? It's not possible, right? And then thirdly, this was, you know, they actually sold him for a very little price. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to get rid of him quickly. Because when you find lost property, right, or when you steal some goods, you want to get rid of them quickly before the actual owner, you know, they come and claim it. So this is why they got rid of him very quickly and they settled for a very low price. And what was that low price? Allah tells us, دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ, دَرَاهِم, dirham. Dirham is silver coin. So it was not gold coins, it was silver coins, and silver coins are of less value than gold coins, right? And مَعْدُودَةٍ, very few, right? Countable, very, very few. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ, and they were, in regard to him, of those who are zahideen, those who had zuhud. And zuhud is to have no interest in something or very little interest in something, to be content with little, right? So they didn't really care about Yusuf, basically. They really didn't care about him. They just wanted the money quickly. So they really devalued him. They did not see his worth. They did not treat him the way he deserved to be treated. And if you think about it, Yusuf alayhi salam, he was handsome. He had great akhlaq, right? But the people, but these travelers, they did not notice any of that, right? And this happens. You know, Yusuf alayhi salam, his father loved him so much that he did not want to be separated from him for even a day, right? And here, these people, they found him, they sold him, they didn't care about him. And this happens. There are people who will love you and there are people who will not care about you at all. And this is the reality of this world. And another thing that is important is that we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to see things for what they are. Yani, they had no idea about who they were dealing with. They were not interested in Yusuf. They just wanted the money. And oftentimes this happens with us also, that we have an opportunity, a great opportunity before us, But we're so short-sighted. We just want the immediate benefit and we don't look at the big picture, right? And this is what happens when people become selfish and greedy and fear overcomes them. And these days, a lot of people are experiencing this because we're all fearful, you know, of the immediate future and we're not concerned about the long run, about the big picture. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you insight, to give you wisdom, to give you the fortitude to make the right decisions and not hasty decisions, so that the great opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us are not overlooked by us. So this is inshallah where we will conclude for today. And then tomorrow we will learn about how Yusuf alayhi salam ended up in Egypt, right? That's where he was sold, and how even though people tried to harm him, in reality what happened is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him only good. So inshallah we'll conclude over here. If there's any questions, inshallah you can send them and I can address them in our next class, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khayran kathira. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.